Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and this is the first live edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, 2017. Hard to believe. I started with this ministry back in 1988. A year from now, I've been doing this for about 30 years, and it has been because people have stood with this ministry prayerfully and financially all along the way. They've stood shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. The resources that we talk about, as always, you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Again, as mentioned, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Did want to mention that we have, starting the new year, a brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal. Cover story titled is Artificial Intelligence Taking Over. Well, not exactly. And when you read this article, you'll start to understand why that is a mathematical impossibility. Again, the journal available for those who subscribe. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Also, an article which I found very, very interesting. It was called The Unending Bending of Gender. It was written by Ellen Mary Dykus, and it points out that 1.4 million Americans now identify as transgender. And Facebook has been applauded in many circles in the last year for advancing the cause of gender fluidity, all that by offering over 70 gender categories. Think about that. No longer just 50 or 56. Now they're offering over 70 gender identities. And yet, as Dr. Paul McHugh, who was the former psychiatrist in chief at Johns Hopkins, has said, medical personnel who promote hormone treatments for prepubescent children are now wreaking havoc on society, because close to 80% of these children grow out of their confusion if left alone. And therefore, these medical interventions come, as he points out, very close to child abuse. I don't know what makes it close to child abuse. It seems to me to be pure child abuse. What is needed instead is wise parenting, because the findings of Johns Hopkins' 30-year study of people who have undergone gender reassignment is very, very telling. The transgendered experience increases mental difficulties in such a way that suicide has risen almost 20 times above the comparable non-gendered population. Also, 98% of gender-confused boys and 88% of girls eventually accept their biological sex after naturally passing through their puberty. And yet you have icons like the NBA. They have withdrawn their support for Charlotte for the All-Star Game. North Carolina has lost billions of dollars of federal funding, all as a result of the fact that common sense has told North Carolinians that biology should determine gender, and that a biological male should not be showering with females or using their bathrooms. And if the NBA was consistent with their own, well, their own bigotry, they would not be so dichotomous between NBA and WNBA players. But that's another story. Again, this is a year in which it's critical for us to understand the issues. That's why we offer resources like the CRI Journal. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to Resource Consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I also want to mention, before we go to our callers, the fact that we have two fantastic resources available to deepen your immersion in and your understanding of the Word of God. The first is an audio version of the Word of God, exactly what it's called, the Word of God. What it is a brilliantly recorded audio New Testament, deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich. It's voiced by internationally renowned actors, and it's the first of a kind dramatized audio of the RSV translation. In addition to the star-studded cast for the many voices of the New Testament, this dramatized recording includes an original music score and wonderful sound effects to make the scriptures come alive, helping you to feel that you're personally witnessing the life-changing words and world-changing events of 2,000 years ago. And I can tell you one thing, I'm going to have this in my car, and instead of listening to news broadcasts, I'm going to be listening to the Word of God. So that's one of the New Year's resolutions that I've made. Use my car as a sanctuary to listen to the Word of God. Also available is my book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, which is, I just think, an absolutely fantastic resource. If you want to know for certain that what you've given your life to is an authentic revelation, also demonstrates to you how you can read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. Both of these resources available for your support. You can pick one or the other or both for a very large gift. No, as the Lord leads you, you can check it out. Again, on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Shane first, listening in Texas on Bot Radio. Hi, Shane.
Yes, sir. I love the show. I'm a big fan. I appreciate you and your ministry. I got just a quick question about modalism as it relates to Oneness Pentecostalism. And my question is, are Oneness Pentecostals so far removed from orthodoxy that it's dangerous to have any kind of fellowship with any kind of oneness group?
Well, you know, the problem is the oneness groups themselves shun Christians. They believe that unless you have been baptized by their formula, you're really not a Christian to start with. The other thing, though, that I think is really important, you mentioned the word fellowship, and you think immediately that the whole notion of God given in the Bible is a notion whereby we can be brought into the fellowship of the Trinity. In other words, for all eternity, the three centers of consciousness within the one triune God have had fellowship, and we're brought into that fellowship. But if you have a Unitarian God, a modalistic God, such as the God that they are peddling, And this has been considered a cult by the Assemblies of God when they broke away. If you consider that kind of a God, there is no opportunity for fellowship prior to the existence of the universe. And because of that, the Unitarian God of modalism becomes a God who lacks the moral perfection of love. So what the Oneness Pentecostals have done is they've taken God and they've refashioned that God in a way that they can comprehend. And that's exactly what made-up religions do. They refashion God. And virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. By the way, I deal with this very subject in the Ask Hank column of the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. So I answer the question, is Oneness Pentecostalism biblical? And this deals especially with the doctrine of the Trinity versus oneness. And again, this article available in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Dennis next. He's listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Again, Bot Radio. Hi, Dennis.
Oh, how are you?
Doing well.
Okay, I heard a preacher say recently that you have all the money that God can trust you with. Is there any scripture to back that up?
Well, I don't know that there's a specific scripture verse that would back that up in any sense, because if you think about it, there are many, many people who have far more money than God can trust them with. And as Christians, this is one of the things that we always believe. We believe that God gives us those things that He can, in fact, trust us with, and we pray that He does not give us more than He can trust us with, otherwise we'll trust ourselves. So I don't really see this as being a biblical paradigm. In fact, Solomon, who was supposedly the wisest man who ever lived, is a perfect counterexample, as are the truisms that you'll find in the book of Proverbs.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. I didn't know of anything, and I just wanted to make sure I hadn't missed something somewhere. But I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. The Bible is an elegant tapestry. It is simply incredible that this exquisite masterpiece is fashioned from 66 books written by 40 different human authors in 3 different languages over a period of hundreds of years on thousands of different subjects, and is yet a unified and consistent whole. How is that possible? The individual writers had no idea that their message would eventually be assembled into one book. And yet, each work fits perfectly, and I mean perfectly, into place with a unique purpose as a synergistic component of an elegant masterpiece. And that synergistic harmony of the Bible is a powerful testimony. It's an enduring reminder that God has spoken, that these are His very words. The elegant tapestry of the text, added to the eyewitness testimony of its authors, is surpassingly powerful internal evidence. And there's much, much more evidence, but this internal evidence to the absolute and irrevocable trustworthiness of the Word of God. So why do I end this segment in this way? Because I am praying, maybe exhorting, encouraging all of you to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you this year. Mind the Scripture. memorize, meditate upon the Word of God. Maybe pick up a habit like I have. If I reach into my pocket for some coins, inevitably I come up with a piece of paper, and on that piece of paper are biblical passages that I'm memorizing. And I do that during normally wasted time, and I keep growing in my knowledge of the Word of God as a result of it, and inevitably God gives me a chance to use the very thing that I'm memorizing with people who are as yet disbelievers. So get the resources like the Word of God, Has God Spoken? You can find them on the web at equip.org. And stay tuned for more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because I'll be right back with more answers.
Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast, featuring an original musical score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth, that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God Has Spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations, and to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or you can order online at equip.org.
Thank you. great Protestant reformer Martin Luther testified, "I am well satisfied with the gift of the Holy Scriptures, which give me abundant instruction and all that I need to know for this life and for that which is to come." Luther's wise words ought to prompt us to hit the pause button and become immersed in God's Word. To help you do that, CRI is offering the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized new audio production voiced by an all-star cast and featuring an original music score, along with wonderful sound effects. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, this is the first live edition of 2017. We're taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Yesterday, we did a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Part of what I was seeking to do in yesterday's broadcast is to encourage people to look up the Legacy Reading Plan. You can find it online at equip.org. That Legacy Reading Plan will teach you how to read the Bible as a whole, how to read it in a specially designed fashion. And again, you can find the Legacy Reading Plan online at equip.org. If you missed yesterday's broadcast, you can get it in an archived version by simply downloading CRI's Equip app. If you haven't done that, you might want to consider doing that, because you can not only listen to archived broadcasts, but you can listen to the broadcast live on your smartphone. And you can also read hundreds of well-researched and relevant articles on the Equip app, so check it out at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Cheryl in Carbondale, Illinois, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
I'm sorry?
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I had a question about a TV show I saw the other day where they said that the RFID chip, microchip, is being implanted now in people's wrists, and that like 10,000 people have already had this done. Do you think this is what the Antichrist would use as the mark of the beast?
Well, not at all. I think that this is just sophistry and sensationalism. But worst of all, it's script torture, because the mark of the beast is not a silicone chip. What it is being marked as someone who identifies with the beast. And that's exactly what you find by reading Scripture in light of Scripture. The mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 14 symbolizes identity with the Lamb, just as the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 13 identifies you with the beast. And so you're either identified with the Lamb or the beast, with God or with Satan. And we get this by reading Scripture in light of Scripture, not just in the immediate context, but in the overall context of Scripture. Because if you went to the Old Testament, you would immediately start to understand that John's reference to the mark of the beast is securely tethered to the Old Testament text, which is to say that the forehead and the hands are Old Testament symbols of a person's belief and a person's behavior. In other words, what you believe and how you behave mark you as either belonging to the Lamb or belonging to the beast. So no silicone chips needed.
Okay, well, that's kind of what I thought, but I just, you know, how people keep saying that, so it kind of concerns me.
Yeah, you know, it's been a great way to sell books, and it's been a great way to popularize ministries, and it's been a great way of selling freeze-dried foods. I mean, it's used for all kinds of canards and all kinds of illegitimate ideas, but it's simply not biblical. And I hope this year people will learn to read the Bible so that when they turn on Christian television or radio, they'll have some kind of a barometer by which to test this kind of sophistry and script torture.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate that answer.
You got it, Cheryl. Thank you so much for your call. Gordon next in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, Frank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for answering my call. Hey, Hank, I have a problem, and I'm dealing with these churches. They want me to come up with an answer for this. And I just want your take on this. It says, coming from Mark, Matthew chapter 12 and 4, it says, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, I just want to ask you a question. How could Jesus be buried Friday afternoon and rise again Sunday? And it said he was 3 days and three nights in the tomb of the heart of the earth. Wouldn't it be more accurate that he died on a Wednesday or Thursday afternoon instead?
Not at all. There is no need to demand that a literal 72 hours be accounted for in the first place. Because if you look at Jesus' own contention that he would rise on the third day, not after the third day and night had ended, it would dispel that very notion. Not only that, but the Gospels unanimously declare that Jesus died on the day of preparation, in other words, Friday, the day leading up to the beginning of the Sabbath at sundown. And then the Gospel writers also are unanimous in communicating that the discovery of Jesus' resurrection early in the morning on the day following the Sabbath, that is Sunday, the first day of the week, you know, again, this is a unanimous proclamation on the part of the gospel writers. And therefore, to suggest that Jesus died on Wednesday and rose on Saturday, or died on Thursday and rose on Sunday, is a direct contradiction of the testimony of the gospel writers themselves.
I understand that, but how could you get 3 days and three nights in the earth? That doesn't calculate.
Well, again, that's why I started out by pointing out there's no need to demand a literal 72 hours be accounted for. This is a way of speaking in reference to time, and that's evident in light of Jesus' own contention that he would rise on the third day, not after the third day and night had ended. So when someone wants a literal 72 hours, they're asking something of the text that the text itself denies.
I don't understand you on that, because that's not lining up with the Bible. Now is it?
No, I was just quoting the Bible.
Mathematically incorrect, because if you look at the Bible, starting from Matthew chapter 15 and 33, Mark 15 and 33, it says, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land. Now, the sixth hour, would you say, is 12 o'clock, right? Hank?
Just go ahead and make your point.
Okay, the sixth hour was six. It had to be a Wednesday or Thursday, which is 12 o'clock. It was come. Then there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock. That make that Thursday afternoon. On Wednesday afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And verse 37 says, he died, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. That would have been Friday morning. Okay?
No, not okay. First of all, you're missing the point.
Pardon me?
First of all, you're missing the point. The point is, in Jewish idiom, any part of a day counted as a day-night unit. And therefore, right. there's no need to demand or try to figure out some kind of schema where you have literally 72 hours accounted for. So the way of speaking in reference to time is evident in the words of Jesus Christ himself. I think you need to understand the point. He would rise on the third day, not after the third day and night had ended. So in other words, you don't have to have an accounting for some literal 72-hour schema. Not only that, but the Gospels are unanimous in declaring that Jesus died on the day of preparation. The day of preparation is not a Wednesday or a Thursday, it's a Friday. This is the day leading up to the beginning of the Sabbath at sundown. And the Gospel writers are also unanimous regarding the discovery of Jesus' resurrection early in the morning on the day following the Sabbath, that is Sunday, the first day of the week. And therefore, to suggest, as you're suggesting now, that somehow or other Jesus died on a Wednesday and rose on a Saturday, or died on a Thursday and rose on a Sunday, this is a contradiction of the testimony of the Gospel writers themselves. Not only that, but I would point out that Jesus' sacrificial death, his miraculous resurrection on the third day, is the glorious archetypal fulfillment of Old Testament types, including the Passover lamb, and Jonah's preservation for 3 days and three nights, and the restoration of Israel on the third day was prophesied in the Old Testament by the prophet Hosea. So trying to figure this out in terms of some kind of a scheme that accounts for 3 days and three nights, when a Jewish idiom is in view, is simply a fool's errand. It's not what we ought to do. It's not the proper reading of the biblical text. I've written about this in a number of places and answered this question many times, written about it in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. You can find that on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Sam. He's listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Sam.
Yeah, Hank, nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Yes, my question was about the extra books in the Catholic Bible. Do they consider the Protestant Bible not complete, and do we consider them heretical, those books, or...
Well, yeah, I mean, the Catholic version, and for that matter, the Orthodox version of the Old Testament is certainly different from that of the Protestant Bible. But I think what's important here is to recognize that if you want to understand what's going on in the book of Daniel, it's very, very helpful to be familiar with what's called the Apocrypha. First, second, and third Maccabees, for example, are a fantastic example of the martyrdom of seven brothers and their mother willing to die rather than transgress the laws of their ancestors. And the dying prayer of the seventh brother actually finds its answer in the Maccabean revolt. Against all odds, savage Jews purpose to resist the Syrian juggernaut, which, of course, caused Daniel's heart to faint. So if you want to understand what's going on, you have to understand the Apocrypha. Coming up with a quote of the day at the end of, in the beginning of the next segment. Be right back.
To stand our ground effectively against today's assaults on the Christian worldview, we must, as Hank Hanegraaff says, get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into us. To help you do that, the Christian Research Institute is offering the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This new magnificently dramatized production is voiced by an all-star cast and features an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more
right after this.
To a child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God has spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations, and to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or you can order online at equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
There is a battle for truth raging around us, but the firm foundation upon which Christians stand is God's Word. It is the supreme authority and knowledge base from which our worldview radiates. Become grounded in God's Word through the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. Brilliantly recorded, it is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich new production voiced by internationally renowned actors. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I was talking in the beginning of the broadcast about gender fluidity and how Facebook now proudly promotes 70 different varieties of gender. Hard to believe. And I thought in light of that, I would make the quote of the day come directly from Joe Dallas, who's been on the broadcast many different times. He wrote an article in the Christian Research Journal in which he gave us this quote. Joe Dallas says, common sense argues yet again that if you're male, a castration combined with injections and implants won't make you a female. However, common sense today is taking a back seat to desire and what is viewed as the sin is raising any objection to desire as opposed to the desire itself. Again, the quote from Joe Dallas, you can find it in the Christian Research Journal. It's an article called Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs. We've posted on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Monique, listening in Greensboro, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, Monique.
God bless you again. Always love the show, listen to the show. And my question was, and I'll ask what I've prepared because I had something else too, but my question was about in the Gospels, I think the gentleman said it was John 14. I could be very wrong about that. Where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there's an account of a man, a person, that's just not described other than being a man, that was kind of following after Jesus, sounds like kind of incognito, kind of lurking behind. And then I don't know if the soldiers got him. I don't have my Bible right here. The soldiers found out that he was there, but he fled. He fled, and it said I think he was in a sheet at first. And he fled without. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. And it's not in John chapter 14. In fact, you won't find it in John. You won't find it in Matthew. You won't find it in Luke. The only place you find this account is in Mark chapter 14. Mark talks about a young man who is following Jesus Christ. He has a linen cloth, as you described, thrown around his naked body. And the young man laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth, and leaving it in the manner that he did, he fled away naked. So this is the account given in Mark chapter 14. Now, what you have to understand about this is to flee naked is a great shame and humiliation. And therefore, there are some that say that the young man might have been James, the brother of the Lord. Others say it might have been the Apostle John, the youngest of the 12. Others believe it was Mark, the author of the Gospel. And the reason I bring this up and give these various ideas is because it is a common literary device for a writer not to divulge the name or divulge himself in the context. And therefore, the other evangelists don't report this incident. They don't report it. Matthew doesn't report it. As I said, Luke doesn't report it. John doesn't report it because they wouldn't have wanted to humiliate Mark. But Mark can tell this story on himself. He's telling a story about which he had requisite knowledge because he's the very person that's involved. So various possibilities are given, but I think the idea that this is Mark himself makes the most sense. We don't know for sure.
I appreciate that because I am not somebody who cares, and not to berate the earlier caller about the days, but I do emphasize it doesn't matter about some of these things, in my opinion. If it, you know, as long as we know what Jesus said, who cares about what kind of shoes he wore or something like that. But I wasn't sure if that was something of significance or not, and I've never even thought of that, and I've never heard that answer. So it would make sense to me, too. I've just never heard it, and I knew it was only in one of the Gospels.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for clarifying that.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to James, listening in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. I just got a simple question. I know it's like stating the obvious whenever someone just asked me and said, how do you know there's a devil? So, I mean, you know, it's very apparent, you know, they just want to say, you just want to give credit for wrong things to the devil. How do you know it's not just you not doing correctly and stuff like that? I just don't know how to, you know, bank a very simplistic matter even more simple. I don't know.
Well, I don't think that the real issue is trying to determine whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil. I think the real issue is that you do what Scripture exhorts us to do, and that is put on the full armor of God, so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. Now, that's precisely what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6. He's arguing that there is a devil and that you have to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And then he points out that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. So again, he's noting that not only Satan, but his minions exist, and to survive in spiritual warfare, it is critical for us to put on the full armor of God.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And my wife was, she was looking at some stuff, and I referred to you. She's very intellectual, and she can understand, so she reads books. And I was like, I've been listening to this Hank guy for a long time, and I was like, he sounds a lot. And she got on the website, and she's like, she picked the prayer of Jesus up.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah, thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Michael in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing today, Hank?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I grew up listening to the Bible Answer Man in my dad's truck when I was a little kid. And now I'm driving home from work today, and I get to make a call. So I'm grateful. Thank you very much.
Me too. It's nice talking to you.
Hank, I have a question. I have a lot of family and a lot of friends that are converting away from Christianity, and they are doing so with the notion, amongst other things, that the Bible supports inhumane behavior, such as slavery or the Spanish Inquisition, and that the Bible has no justification for people that treat other people inhumanely, but their judgment in heaven.
So they're saying that the Bible is inhumane?
It is permissible to inhumane behavior, is what I've been hearing. And I just want to be able to defend my faith against that.
Yeah, I mean, this is simply false. I mean, the Bible does not promote inhumane behavior. In fact, inhumane behavior you might find in other constructs like in Islam, but you won't find it in the Bible. For example, inhumane behavior would include slavery. Now, there is a precept and a principle that underscores the validity of slavery in Islam, but you would never find it in Christianity. In fact, the application of biblical principles ultimately led to the overthrow of slavery. And the reason is because in the Bible, you realize immediately that all human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. And you see, in terms of a prototype, Israel's emancipation from slavery in Egypt as the model for the liberation of slaves in general. Or you have Paul saying, in Christ there's neither slave nor free. We are one in Christ. Or variously saying that slave traders are in the category of murderers, adulterers, perverts, and liars. All things that the Bible denounces. So the Christian religion is calling us to really one commandment. That commandment is to love our neighbor as ourself. And the reason Paul calls it the one rule, the one commandment, is because you cannot love God without loving your neighbor. So if you love your neighbor, you're saying that you love God as well. And therefore, in the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments, the two commandments are love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And therefore, you can never be inhumane towards someone who was created in the image and likeness of God.
Thank you, Hank. I appreciate it.
You got it. And when I'm talking about other religious constructs, you can find all kinds of inhumane activity. For example, I mentioned Islam. Allah is so deeply committed to the principle of sexual slavery that he recapitulates adulterous commands on many occasions throughout the Quran. On one occasion, he tells his prophet, it is lawful for you, your wives, by the way, wives plural in Islam, because a Muslim can have up to four wives. Muhammad could have as many as he wanted, according to Allah. But it is lawful to you, your wives, to whom you have paid their bridal money. This is money given by the husband to his wife at the time of marriage, and those captives or slaves whom your right hand possesses, whom Allah has given to you. And then on another occasion, he tells Muslim men that they should abstain from sex except with those joined to them in the marriage bond or with captives who their right hand possesses. And in Quran 70, he makes crystal clear that adulterous relationships are limited to female slaves and captives. So, I mean, this is a religion. Well, it's really not a religion in the Western sanitized sense of the word. It's a socioeconomic political system that rides in the rails of Sharia that allows for inhumane actions. Unfortunately, many of our politicians talk about Islam in soaring rhetoric, but you won't find this in the Bible. The Bible is about treating someone else as you would like to be treated yourself, because that someone else has created in the Imago Dei. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast. Thank you for everyone that stood with us in 2016, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth. Please do so again in 2017 as we make a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth, that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God has spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations, and to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or you can order online at equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife,
What you need to know about heaven, the hereafter, and near-death experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.